We're starting a new series today, and the series that we're looking at is what I've called authentic faith. Authentic faith. Now, our main text is going to be from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. I'll read it, then I'll just give us an introduction and give this context. So if you've got a Bible, you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. And I'll read, I'm reading from the NIV version, but whatever version you've got is fine. It says, I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as day and night I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Louise and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So the background to this is Paul the Apostle was writing this letter to Timothy. Timothy had been, you know, one of his proteges, traveling around with him, preaching the gospel. And Timothy was a really young man when, you know, Paul first found him, and he was highly recommended to Paul. So Paul took Timothy on his missionary journeys, and he really helped to spread the gospel. So here, Paul was writing a letter to Timothy, and he highlighted something here that I think is quite interesting. He said that he was thinking about Timothy, he wanted to see him, but he made a point about one main characteristic that Timothy had, and he referred to that characteristic as sincere faith. Now, you might wonder, why didn't Paul talk about something else? Why didn't he maybe mention Timothy's teaching abilities or Timothy's other characteristics? He chose to highlight this by the Holy Spirit, that there was something about this young man, Timothy, that set him apart from a lot of the other believers. And Paul noticed this thing, and he referred to it as a sincere kind of faith. Now, he now goes on to say that this sincere faith was in Timothy's mother and his grandmother. So I'm not quite sure how Paul traced that, but he saw something in Timothy and he said, wow, this thing that I've noticed in this young man is also in his mother. This thing I've noticed in this young man is also in his grandmother. Wow, this is quite interesting. And I think in the day and age that we live in now, authentic faith is required. Authentic faith is so important. And we'll look at the reasons why that's important. So we're looking at authentic faith here. And this young man displayed this authentic faith, referred to here as a sincere kind of faith. Now, when I'm talking about faith here, I'm not talking about the faith that's referred to in the book of Hebrews 11, which is belief in God. I'm not talking about faith as it pertains to believing in God. No, I'm talking about faith in terms of the walk of a Christian, your Christian life. The Bible says there's a walk of faith. So it's not talking about faith that believes in God, or faith as it's often referred to as believing in God. In this context, it's talking about the life of a believer. So I just want to give that context there. So that's what we're looking at, authentic faith, the life of a believer, your life, my life. Now, Paul referred to this as sincere faith. So I took the liberty to check an online dictionary to find out what that word sincere, well, to define that word sincere, so we have further context as well. Now, the online dictionary that I found said, or defines sincere as this: free from pretense, proceeding from genuine feelings. Free from pretense, proceeding from genuine feelings. The online dictionary defines sincere as that. Now, the word authentic that I'm using as well also talks to something that is genuine, something that's not fake. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm sure nobody wants to have a fake friend. whatever friendships you have, or when you relate to people, you want them to be really sincere with you, because that's what everybody wants. You want to be sincere as well, as much as you can, you know. But we want people who will be sincere with us, people who are not fake, people who are not pretentious, so that we know who they really are. And when we come across people who are not pretentious and they are friends, we can really relax with them. We can tell them things because we know that whatever this person is saying, it's coming from a genuineness. It is not fake. And in the world that we live in now, a lot of stuff is fake. You have people on Instagram. And by the way, I'm not, you know, putting down Instagram because we're on Instagram as well. You have the social media thing and everybody is projecting. Well, let me not generalize because I don't know what's on everybody's minds. But the norm is that we on social media project an image of what we want people to see about us. You know, we post those happy pictures. Not that there's anything wrong with posting happy pictures. But what I'm just saying is that the world that we live in now is so saturated with superficiality. You know, very, very superficial relationships. You know, you might be on Facebook or Instagram and you have like, you know, 10,000 followers, but you don't even know, you know, 10 of them properly. So it's like you have so many followers, but they don't know you. The only thing they know about you is that, you know, when you're having a good time, they see you on holiday in Canada, on holiday here, this is what I'm eating. The point I'm trying to make is that unlike the old days when there was no Instagram or social media, it was easier to engage and to experience genuine relationships. And in that instance, it was also easier to identify genuine faith. And not just identifying it in others per se, but in identifying it in yourself. So the reason I'm saying this is that I believe everybody is tired of the superficial relationships. Everybody wants something real. You know, people want us, you know, people want to be upfront. Look, I want to see the real you. You know, forget the Instagram, forget the Facebook. Let me just really know who you are. The same way we're talking about authentic faith. It's a faith that is sincere. Do you understand what I mean? So that's what the dictionary defines authentic as, or sincere as, something that is free from pretense and emanating from genuine feelings. Do you understand? So that's what we're talking about here. Our walk of faith, looking at it from a point of it being sincere. Now, so I'm going to look at three things tonight. Then I will end. Or should I say three areas? So one might ask the question, what's the big deal? Why should I care about having genuine faith? What does that even, you know, what's the relevance of that in my life? Well, it has a lot of relevance in your life and in my own life as well. So the first thing I want to mention is that God loves everyone that is born. Well, God loves the whole world. The Bible tells us he died for the whole world. Now, this study that I'm doing is not for people who are not Christians. I'm assuming that we believe in God already. So all the things I'm going to be speaking about tonight assumes that the people I'm speaking with are Christians. They're born again. So I can, you know, put it in proper context. Now, so God loves everyone. And if you're born again, or people who are born again, you're in God's family. So there's no categorization in terms of God's love for you. Do you understand? God's love for you and I in being born again is not based on what we do. But the point I want to make is that even though God's love is not partial towards us because we're all born again, he loves us because of Christ. However, God really appreciates genuine faith. And when I say genuine faith, remember, I'm not talking about faith about believing in God for something or believing that God exists. That's a given. I'm talking about I'm talking about how we live as Christians, not outwardly. So the first thing is that we see that God really, really appreciates this. Even if we look at the Old Testament, There was something that was made mention of in the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. And it says that after removing Saul, he made David the king. God testified concerning him, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." So we're looking at why sincere faith. What's the use? What's the big deal about authentic faith? And the first point I'm making is that God really values it when we develop that kind of sincere and authentic faith. He referred to David here in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. If you look at the life of David, you know that that man that God says was after his own heart. He made a lot of mistakes. I mean, this guy did things that were even unimaginable. But God still called him a man after my own heart. I mean, that's a high recommendation from God. So we begin to see that sincere faith is not about really your actions, even though it is seen in your actions. Do you understand? But it is something that is inside of you that God sees. Do you understand? It is something tangible that God sees. So the first thing is that God really, really appreciates sincere faith in our lives. All right. Now, the other thing as well is in the day that we live in, now I'm going to make an inference here. The inference I'm going to make is I believe very strongly that this is the second point about why sincere and why authentic faith. I believe that in the days we live in now, if a believer is going to have a fervent, enjoyable Christian life with God and with other believers, to the point that when you wake up every day and you're going about your business, irrespective of what's going on around you, you're experiencing the joy of God, you're bubbling with life, you're excited about your life as a Christian. And if you're going to experience that kind of lifestyle and not burn out, not live that kind of life for 5 years and you're tired, like, I don't even feel like going to church anymore, this Christian thing, you know, is just too much. That's what happens oftentimes when we are not living a life that is based on genuine and authentic faith. So the point I want to make is that if my Christian life is going to be exciting, if it's going to be fulfilling, we need to cultivate this type of authentic faith that the Bible is talking about. So the first point is why sincere or authentic faith. The first point I made was God really appreciates it in our lives. The second one is that we need it in order to live a life that will be fulfilling as Christians. This authentic kind of faith. Now, the second point I want to make tonight is this. What are the things that really challenge authentic faith in our lives? Why don't we just experience authentic faith once we're born again immediately? Well, we actually do, but there are certain things that, if I can use this analogy, that covers the sincere faith that we can experience. Now, when I say can experience, what that means is that every believer, not because of anything you've done or anything you can do, every believer has the potential to experience and to live a life of sincere and authentic faith. Note that word, every believer can, but not every believer does. It's just like the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. It says God wants everybody to be saved, but we see that not everybody is saved. So everybody on earth has the potential, the opportunity to be saved, but not everybody, you know, seizes that opportunity. The same thing with sincere faith, as a sincere faith of walk of faith. Every believer has the potential. It is in us, but not everyone has sincere faith. Or let me not say has. Not everyone walks in this sincere faith. That's why Paul the apostle could highlight and identify this in the life of Timothy, which means, or should I say, which meant, in those days, not everybody was living authentically as a Christian in those days. So the second point I want to make is, what are the things that, you know, mitigate against authentic faith? What are the things that just bury authentic faith in our lives? What are the things that keep us from really living a life that is authentic? And mind you, if you're living an authentic Christian life, it is something that's noticeable. But we'll look at that next week. So the second point is, what are the things that really fight against authenticity in the life, in our lives as Christians? The first is Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Now, there is something about you and I, or there's something about our heart. Now, but before I make this point, the Bible says that when we become born again, God changes our heart. Bible says he replaces our heart, our hearts of stone, with a heart of flesh. So God does a heart transplant to on us when we become born again. However, there is something I'll call your heart of hearts and the mind of your heart. Now, what that means is this. There are certain attitudes that we carry along into our born again life that still stays there. And the way we get rid of that is as we progress and we study the Word of God, and God does a work to untangle our hearts from all those clutters. So even though God has given you and I a new heart, the new heart appears sometimes to be cluttered. And because it's cluttered, it retains the old wickedness of the heart. Now, the Bible says, well, not wickedness, deceitful. You know, there's something about you and I. Our hearts can deceive us if we do not regulate it by the Word of God. So there is something inside of us that, if we're not careful, can deceive us to the point that we're not able to live authentic Christian lives. Do you understand what I mean? For example, for example, the Bible says you should not have sexual relations with someone before you get married to them, or someone that you're not married to. And you have a Christian guy and a Christian girl, they really love one another. And, you know, there's the possibility that they might get married, although they're not quite sure. Now, one of them begins to deceive them. One begins to deceive himself. The other two begins to deceive herself. And they say, well, even though God says we should not have sexual relations before we get married, you know, we're going to get married in the future anyway. So let's start having that. Let's move in together. And God understands, and so on and so forth. You know, right there you have what I call deceit, because God's word says exactly what you should do. It's just like someone that goes to shoot someone as a Christian. And it says, well, that person annoyed me, I can just shoot them. God understands that. I mean, I was angry. No. God loves you even after you've shot that person. God loves you even after you're having continuous sexual relations with someone you're not married to as a Christian. But you will continue in that lifestyle only if you deceive yourself. And what I mean by that is you convince yourself otherwise against what God has said. So, I mean, those are kind of like extreme examples, but we deceive ourselves in little things. Someone annoys you, for example, and what God says is we should forgive. And you're like, well, I'm not going to forgive. That person has really done X, Y, and Z to me. You see, if one persists in that kind of behavior, what you're doing is you're making excuses for yourself. Do you understand? And it's like you're almost kind of like deceiving yourself that God's happy with that. Now, there's a big difference in, okay, someone really annoys me and I'm really finding it hard to forgive them. And I go to God and I say, God, I know you said I should forgive this person, but it's really, really difficult for me. Help me. That's different. Or it might even be someone who, you know, sees a girl that he really loves and is like, God, you know, I made a mistake and I, you know, slept with this person. I didn't really want to do it and I'm not going to do it. How can I, you know, really help me? That's different. In that instance, they've admitted that, look, what they're doing is not correct and they need God to help them. So deceit, the Bible tells us, is from the heart. And the worst kind of deception is self-deception, where we deceive ourselves, convince ourselves against the word of God, instead of lining up with what God is saying and telling God, look, I'm really annoyed at what this person has done. I don't want to forgive them, but I will because you said I should. So in that instance, authentic living, authenticity, tongue twister there. Authentic living is, look, even though I'm doing this thing that I'm not happy with, God, I'm owning up. I'm not going to make excuses for myself. I'm not going to say, that person tempted me to do this. No, I take responsibility for myself. And I said, look, yes, I did this and I'm not happy about it. God, you know, please help me. You know what I mean? Authentic living. So deceiving ourselves is a major problem. We all do it in little doses, some in different areas. So one of the things that mitigates against an authentic Christian lifestyle is self-deception. And that's the worst type because it's you and I deceiving ourselves in different areas. Now, the other thing is this, and this works hand in hand with self-deception. Again, the second point I'm making, the things that really mitigate against beginning to experience or to walk and live an authentic Christian lifestyle is in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2, it says something. It says, a person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. So Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2 says, a person, listen, might think their own ways are right, but it says God weighs the heart. So this is intermingled with self-deception, where one just says, this is what I believe, and that's it. Hang on, you're a believer. Whatever you believe should not be, that's it. It cannot be your own opinion. Your opinion cannot be the final say here. Your opinion, my opinion, has to be, okay, what does the Bible say about this thing? Really, you know, let's look at it black and white. What does the Bible say about this thing that I'm doing or this lifestyle that I'm living? Do you understand? So someone will say, well, this is the 20th century. All those things that the Bible says is a cake. And why should I forgive someone? Why should I do? Come on. The Bible says, Proverbs 21, verse 2, that there is a person might think they're right in their own eyes, but God weighs the heart. How do you know what God wants to say concerning a particular situation? Look in the Bible. And the thing is, even if it's not black and white in the Bible, it's implied somewhere. You can find the answer there. So what am I saying? Everybody wants, you know, God wants us to live an authentic lifestyle. Now, I didn't say a perfect lifestyle because we're not going to be perfect till we see Jesus face to face. But come on, he wants us to live a life that is not pretentious, not pretending to be something that you're not, not pretending to be something I'm not. And when I mean pretending to be something I'm not or you're not, I'm talking about as it relates to God. And it's evident. I'm telling you, when you come up across people who are authentic, it's you know. Let's even put aside in the context of the Christian faith, just like regular people at work, school, you can tell that this guy is fake. This person is fake. They're putting up something that is not really them. And what do you do with those kind of folks? You just avoid them because like, man, this person like properly fake. Nobody wants a fake person. I'm sure you don't want a fake person. Nobody does. And God doesn't. God wants us to live an authentic Christian lifestyle. The last thing I want to mention here for tonight. So we've looked at why sincere or authentic faith. I said God really appreciates it. And in the day we live in, that's what's going to get us through to the end, to live a life that is exciting as a believer. The second thing I looked at was, what are the things that mitigate against an authentic lifestyle? I said self-deceit and basing our opinions on our opinions instead of what God says in the Bible. And the last thing I want to look at tonight is this. Authentic living, authentic faith is not about what you do. Now, why am I saying this? Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. It says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things people look at." It says people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Very important point I'm making here. So the third point is, it's not about what you do. It's about your heart. It's not about what you do, but it's about what's really in your heart. And God says here, look, all that show that we do sometimes, you know, like, forget all that. He looks at our heart. And that's why he could comment on someone like David. He said, look, this David guy is a man after my heart. David killed someone's wife, killed someone's husband. I mean, he did really, really bad things. But God saw through all that. And he said, there is something about this man. There is something about this man that just touches me. Now, if you begin to look at the Psalms, you begin to get an inkling into maybe the reason or some of the reasons why God could really say that about David. In the Psalms, you would see reading. Some of them are quite interesting. You know, I wouldn't recommend some of them. David would be like really properly open with God, saying, you know, I want to kill that person. Let this thing happen to them. Expressing what he really felt to God. He didn't cover up and say, okay. And yet, no, he was open and direct with God. When he was sad, he was open and direct with God. He didn't pretend. When he needed help, he was like, God, I really need help desperately. When he wasn't, you know, happy about something, he was sincere. I'm not happy about this thing. I'm not happy about this thing. You know, he didn't put up a show. And I believe that God seeing that was like, yeah, this guy is real. Might not be perfect, but he's real. So we see here that the third thing is that it's not about what you do. It's about what's in your heart. So I'm going to stop there tonight. Next week, we're going to look at, okay, so yeah, Pastor Benson, you've said all these things. How do I begin to walk in a life that is authentic as a Christian? Very, very simple, I'm telling you. Well, simplish in a way. We'll look at that next week. We'll look at that next week. But I just want to leave us with these three points that I've mentioned tonight. Why sincere or authentic faith? The things that mitigate against it. And the third point, it's not about what you do. It's about what's in your heart. So we'll stop there tonight. And I'm just going to pray for us tonight. Now, you're like, oh my goodness, you know, what kind of topic is this? Tell us something more fundamental, something deep. Well, this is deep. And what I've come to realize over the years is it's this really simple things that, you know, make our lives as Christians exciting. I'm telling you, that's what makes it exciting. That's what makes it enjoyable. It's not oftentimes all the big theological things, which are good, but it's the simple things. And it's those simple things that we're going to be looking at so that when you wake up every morning, you're like, fantastic, what a life. You can smile. Even if nothing is, you know, going on around you, you're like excited within you. And you're, you know, that's how God wants us to be. That's the life he wants us to live. Let us pray.